Welcome to the Church in the Peak podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, visit churchinthepeak.org or come and join us at 10 a.m. every Sunday.
All right, we're recording. Excellent. Well, I've been on a sabbatical from preaching for a while, and I think I've probably done me good, probably done you good. I've been spending some time just with God, wanting to seek God, wanting to hear from God. Thought I needed something fresh. You know, you come to a place sometimes when you're just burnt out. You haven't got anything else to give. You get to that point and actually just to take some time out and just come back, spend some time with God. Get back into the Word and allow God to speak into your situation, your life. If you haven't done that, maybe you need to do that sometime. It's really good. If you're feeling a bit burnt out, take some time out. Spend some time with God. I really would encourage you to do that. So, over the last couple of months, I've been meditating on a passage of Scripture. Now, this particular bit is usually used at weddings. I know that because I've used it at weddings. So I know that's when it gets used a lot. And it'd be very familiar to you when we get it on the screen. But I'm just aware that in that, God wanted just to speak something, both to my own heart and to others. So we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And this is the writer to the Hebrews, if we don't know who he really is. He's writing, and I want to pronounce a blessing, a prayer of blessing over the people. And so he says this: "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." So that's kind of a benediction kind of prayer I've used many times at a wedding. You want to bless a couple as they start their new journey, their new life together. You kind of have used this many times, and you hope that that works out. You pray that that works out. You're kind of confident that God will work something good in that for them and their marriage. But there's so much in this. Just in these two verses, I came up with 8 topics that we could preach into. I'm not going to preach all 8. I'm not going to chance doing that this morning. And even what I've prepared, I'm feeling I might only get my first point out. So we'll see where we go in this. So these are the topics I kind of recognise in there. So number one would be, starting at the start of the verse 20, the God of peace. Do a whole series on the God of peace in itself. Jesus, the great shepherd, or you could say good shepherd, or you could say chief shepherd. Again, a whole series on Jesus being our shepherd. Could look into that, dig into that, go deeper, find that out. What a wonderful topic, and particularly coming up now, this next one to East is the blood covenant of Jesus. What an amazing truth that is, that through the precious blood of Jesus, we have forgiveness of sin. What an amazing truth. We could dig into all that and what's behind that, and our salvation based on that covenant of blood. And we could dig into that and into salvation. And what that means for us. The next bit is to make you complete or fully filled or fitted and equipped. Whichever way you want to look at it, which is a bit I'm going to dig into a little bit this morning. And then we could look at the goodness of God who works in us. And again, a whole series about the goodness of God. And you know, I didn't realise how much was wrapped up in these two verses, this prayer, what we could look into. And then obviously you've got the whole holiness of God and our call to holiness, being set apart, fully equipped to serve him, set apart for him alone. And so you could dig into all that in through these few verses. And then finishing off with the glory of Jesus, the glory of the Son. And what an amazing topic that would be to look at. Just how wonderful and amazing he is. So that could take us a couple of years, maybe. So usually when I'm appearing on preach, I say, oh, I need another preach. Well, I've got 2 years with this here, after 2 verses.
You can't have a sabbatical and then have 8 preachers in a row.
Okay. I wasn't asking for it. I was just saying, of course. I was throwing it out there and see if it gets picked up by anybody. Next elder's meal. So the area I really want to look at, and where I felt God has just spoke to me, is the whole area of being equipped by God. And the commentators put it this way: equipped by God for a superior life in Christ. That was Spurgeon who said that. Equipped by God for a superior life in Christ. Does that sound attractive? Does that sound like something you would like to experience and live in the good of? A superior life in Christ. I'd kind of like to get into that. I don't think I've even touched on it yet in my own life, but I'd like to get there. So God working in us that we can work it out, our salvation, work him out to our communities, work him out in our daily life. God working in us, equipping us, everything we need. Everything we need to live this superior life. God wants to equip us to be able to do that. And it says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Not for ours. It's not for our good pleasure, it's for his good pleasure in and through our lives. That's why God does this. That's why God wants to equip us, that we work in this for his good pleasure. And in Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." The purpose of our equipping, God equipping us, giving us what we need, is it brings glory and honour to Jesus. It lifts him up. It raises him up. And one of the things I loved about one of the articles I read from what God is doing in Nepal, around that region, is the guy, a Korean guy who's missionary out there just working with those communities, simply says this: we go to villages, they see the miracle, and the whole village converts to Jesus. Now in Nepal, it's illegal to convert anybody from their faith to another faith. It's illegal. But as the Korean quite rightly says, we didn't convert them, Jesus did. How are you going to hold him to account? You know, at the end of the day, he's working in us for his good pleasure. We bring glory and honour to Jesus. That's the purpose. That's why God wants to equip us with everything we need. So as I looked at this, I thought, well, there's many areas I could now dig into, even in this. So I've got another whole list of preachers here. Sorry. Of what we could look into about what it is to be equipped. So we could go down the ministry gifting, equipped with ministry gifts. We can look at that, what areas, service, ministry that God gives to us. We can look at the whole gifts laid out for us in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 Corinthians 12. We could look at all that. We could look at the spiritual gifts, what we need to do that. We could look at the fruits of the Spirit that we need equipping with to live this life for Jesus. And then we could look at the equipping of resources that we need. Money, time, opportunity, people. We could look at all those things. So I've now added another year onto our teaching program. You know, we could look at all that, but God took me right back. And he took me right back. Could we have the first slide, please? Zed. I hope you got my PowerPoint. There we go. So equipped with everything good. Now, there's a picture of my father-in-law, actually. And we were on holiday in Crete, and he was equipped for the beach. He had everything, absolutely everything. Everything we had for the beach was on him. I didn't carry a thing. He was carrying absolutely everything for us, for the kids. He had the whole lot, backpack on, all the floats, all the stuff that we needed for the beach. He was equipped, and it's good. When you're at the beach and you're equipped for the beach, it's good, isn't it? We like the beach, we like the sea, but I do. I like to get out there, I like to enjoy it, get on the beach, enjoy the beach, have some fun. We can be equipped for the beach with good stuff. And sometimes in life, we've already equipped ourselves with stuff that's good for our pleasure. But it's not good for his pleasure. It's only for ours. And we can take all these things and we can hold on to them because we think it's good and we like it and it is good. And God wants us to enjoy some good stuff, but there's times when we need to put down some of our own equipment that we can take hold of what God's got for us. And there may be things that you're even aware of that you think, I just need to put this down, because this is getting in the way of God being able to equip me for what, for his pleasure. So putting down the things that are for our pleasure and picking up the things that are for his pleasure. And that's what God wants from us. That's what God's called us to. That's the blessing in this prayer. Is actually we'd be blessed with the things, equipped with the things that bring glory and honor to him, and not to ourselves. And God wants us to do that. And God wants to do that in us. So what are you carrying? Spurgeon said this: we ought to request earnestly that we may be qualified, adapted, and suited to be used by God for the performance of his will. Let me read that again. We ought to request earnestly that we may be qualified, adapted, and suited to be used of God for the performance of his will. Not for us, but for his. We are called and chosen by God out of his will in the first place. You were called out of the will of the Father. You were called out of his will. You were chosen before the foundation of the world out of his will. Not yours. And then he brought you in. And he wants to line our will up with his will. To line us up with what he's doing. To line us up with his plan, his purpose. To line us up with who he is. And not who we just want to be. It's great that we've got salvation. It's great we can enjoy that and live in the good of that. But we're called to so much more than just being saved. God's called us to so much more than that. So I got three areas that I felt God first spoke to me about. And I might want to get to the first, because I've already had half my time, just in my introduction. So, I'm going to start where you probably didn't think I would. And it's going to be a bit of a downer, this. I'm going to take you down and I'm going to bring you back up. Okay? So just travel with me. We'll see where we go. So if you can have the next slide up, please. First thing that God wants to equip us with is endurance. You see, there's many things in this life that will rob us of our ability to endure, to press on, to go through. And many people have given up following Jesus. Many people have given up on their faith. Many people have walked away because they didn't endure. They need this. And it's not something we can grab from within ourselves. We can't make ourselves do that. Actually, it's a gift from God. All good and perfect gifts come from God. Endurance is one of them. I just want to look at a situation from Lamentations. This is Jeremiah, a great prophet, called a prophet, called to the nations, an enormous call upon his life. We often quote the verse that says, you know, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you and all that, and give you hope in the future. It's all wonderful. And Jeremiah is living with that wonderful promise over his life, called of God, chosen of God. But things weren't necessarily easy. Because if you read Lamentations 3:18, and it's a great chapter of complaint, of moaning and grumbling. I'm sure if you read it, you will identify with it. I'm sure you will. We all can through life. And in the middle of it, we have those great verses. Just two verses that talks about his mercies are new every morning. It's only that two verses in the middle of 36 or so verses of all grumbling. It's not a lot of hope in there. And verse 18, it says this: So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. That's a desperate place, isn't it? My endurance has perished. It's gone. It's disintegrated. It's disappeared. It's not here anymore. I haven't got endurance anymore. I've lost it. It's gone. I can't go on anymore. Have you ever come to that point where you think, I just can't go on anymore? Like this, in this situation, in this circumstance, in this life, working like this, living like this, can't go on anymore. Your endurance comes to an end. You're at the end of yourself. I want to say it's a good place. Actually, it's a good place to come to the end of yourself. And I think I've been on that journey a bit of coming to the end of myself. I've been on that journey of working through this. Actually, I don't feel I could carry on. I didn't feel I was in a place where I could carry on anymore. And I was at the end and I needed to take a break. I needed to step back a bit. Because actually, I was running out of the ability to endure. I was running out of the what I needed, the strength within, the hope within, to press on for more. And I was getting frustrated. And I know that came out a bit in some of my preaching sometimes. Because I was getting frustrated. And I'm sorry if that came out. I'm really sorry if that affected you in any way. But I've come to the end of myself. And I've learnt a lesson. Actually, I can't do it anyway. I have no hope in myself. I have no chance in myself. I can't make it happen for me. I've got to allow God to do it in me. I've got to make space for Him to work in my life. I've got to make space for God to speak. I've got to make space for God to meet me and to spend time with Him. And actually, some of the things and the areas I'm learning again to endure in is spending time with Jesus. Endure in His presence. Endure in His Word. Endure in His word, in worship of Him. I'm learning again to actually just come back to knowing actually it's all Him. And as we said, you know, Paul said, you know, I must decrease, that He must increase in my life. And we need that. And I've come to a place where actually I was perhaps thinking of myself perhaps a bit more important than I should have done. And actually I need God. I need to decrease so that He increases in me. Now, I read a book years ago. Some of you know the writer, Watchman Nee. Great book. Not I, but Christ. And it's on my bookshelf, and I know it's on my list to reread. Because I know I want not me, but Him. Not my will, but His will. Not my endurance, but His working within me, through me. Not my hope, but His hope in me is the hope of glory. Not what comes from out of me, because what comes from out of me is not good very often. Or at all sometimes, if I'm honest. And sometimes I don't like myself. Find yourself, I mean, find yourself. You kind of don't like yourself too much, and you don't like the way you've responded to things or reacted. And you really don't like yourself, but almost you like you can't help yourself either. And you kind of think, why am I doing that? Why am I saying that? And Paul went through that, didn't he? The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do want to do, I find myself not doing. And we find we live in that tension. We live in a tension of the things we want to do, we don't always do because of ourselves. And that's why we need to decrease. And He increase. That actually, the more times we'll end up doing what He wants us to do and what we should be doing rather than what we want. And pleasing ourselves and having pleasure for ourselves. And Jeremiah knew where he was at. This great prophet, amazing prophet to the nations, appointed to nations. An amazing title. I've called and chosen you and appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. That's a great title to have from God. And yet he finds himself in this desperate place. And what's happening here is, in Lamentations, Jerusalem has been ruined. The streets are desolate. Many have died in Jerusalem because of sin. Because they wouldn't turn back to God. And he's walking through the streets and he's seeing the desolation of Jerusalem as a city. That great city. And he's walking through it and seeing the desolation there. And he just loses it. And sometimes there's things in our lives that look like desolation. They just do. And we lose it, don't we? We just lose it. We don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to turn it around. We can't do anything to change the situation. We run out of kind of ideas. We kind of do all we can. And we run out and we have to come back to God. And that's where Jeremiah comes to. He has to come back to God, even though he then goes on to moan again. It's a bit of a rollercoaster journey, isn't it? Life is. Circumstances are. And we have ups and we have downs, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. We can have an up and think, oh, it's turning around, things are going to happen, things are going to get better. And then we find that actually it's not that at all. And we're down again. We fail again. We kind of find ourselves in self-pity mode. And I think that's where Jeremiah is even in this way. He's in self-pity mode. You know, I prophesied to this nation. I prophesied to all the people of Israel. And look at the mess. Look at the state. Why? Because they didn't listen. Because they were for pleasure of themselves. They were equipped for their own pleasure instead of the pleasure of God. And they didn't give that up. Hebrews 10:36 says, "For you have need of endurance." You have need of it, says. "So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." See, every promise comes with a condition. Except for what? Every promise has conditions with it. And actually, if we want to see the fullness of the promise, we need to learn to endure. And hold in there, and hold fast. And not allow us to be robbed of our faith, of our hope, our joy, our future that God's planned for us. Not to allow ourselves to be brought down by the things and the weight of this world or the sin that so easily besets. Not to allow ourselves to get into those positions, but actually be aware that we need that endurance from God. We have need of it. We have need of endurance to be able to receive what was promised. To stand firm, even in the midst. And just as Neil was sharing the story of the disciples in the boat, they didn't have a lot of endurance in the boat there. They were all probably bailing out. This is going to sink anyway, let's get out. Don't know if they could swim or not, but they would probably go out. I would have done. In fact, I only ever tried sailing once. I used to do swimming at school because I was good at swimming. It's the only sport I'm ever good at, is swimming. So I did swimming. And then we had the opportunity to go sailing, Oxton Reservoir. So I went sailing. First time out, we capsized and ended up swimming back to the shore. I thought, I might as well just go swimming. What's the point? I'll just go swimming. So I never went sailing again. We need endurance. I didn't have it for the sailing. I had it for the swimming, but not the sailing. We need endurance, don't we? We need God to fill us with endurance. I know I'm not even practically going to get through all this. Colossians 1 verse 11. "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It doesn't come from us. It's not within us. His might. His might at work in us. His glorious might. Not just any old might. His glorious might, his power, sustaining us, helping us, for all endurance and patience with joy. I find that one hard. Patience with joy is really hard work. I'm not patient very often, especially in traffic. I'm not patient, and I have no joy. Sally says to me, you hate being behind another vehicle, don't you? You just hate being behind somebody else. And it's true. I think I do. I just hate being behind somebody else. I've not got any patience with joy sometimes. But I need it in God. We need it with the things of the kingdom. We need it with the things of the kingdom. As God moves us forward, we need to have patience with joy, with expectation that God will do what he's promised to do in and through us and our lives. I didn't realise how many verses there were in the Bible about endurance. Until God took me there. Never realised. I've picked a few out. But there's many more. Romans 5 verse 4. This is a hard one. I don't like this one. "And endurance produces character. And character produces hope." It's uncomfortable when God starts working on our character. When he starts revealing all our flaws. All the things that we don't like about ourselves, and even some of the things we do like about ourselves, it says are not good for us. So, well, I was okay with that. I like that about me. Why is that an issue? Why are you putting your finger on that, God? I like that bit. No. He wants to line us up with his character. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. New creation, changed, transformed from death to life. That was of the old life. We have to cast off and clothe ourselves with the new as we come to Jesus, because we are new creations in him. As we come to him, and therefore our character changes. And we need to endure the character changes that God wants to work in our lives. When I was young, I was very proud and arrogant and angry. And there's aspects of that I liked about, and there's aspects about that I really didn't like about me. And it was tough. When God chose to deal with arrogance and pride, I tell you, it hurt. It really hurt. And he still has to deal with it sometimes, because it pops its head up again. And he still has to work on it. He still has to work on me in that area of arrogance and pride. And God wants to do that in each of us. I'm not going to preach anymore, because I've got loads more to say just on endurance, and I'm not going to get to any of the ones, so I might get another preach sometime, who knows. But I feel God wants to just come to us, and he wants to impart something of endurance. And you know, to make a marriage work, it takes endurance, doesn't it? You have to work at it. It's hard work. Marriage is hard work. I've been married 35 years. There's been times where it's been really hard work. I talk from experience. I've worked for Derbyshire County Council for 43 years. I've endured local authority. It's been an endurance. I don't care. Council can hear it. I don't care. And I'm sure he put me there so I'd endure. So I'd learn what endurance was. I'm sure he put me in the council just so I'd endure it, because it's not always a good place to work. You know, people see you walking down the road, yellow jacket on, reflective jacket, and I'm the council. You know, I'm not just a working representative of the authority. You're the council. Why aren't you sorting this out? You know, that's how people see it. I'm labelled as the council, but that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm called to be a follower of Jesus. I'm called to do things of the kingdom. And I'm called to endure even the 43 years of local authority. For his sake. For his sake. For the kingdom's sake. Not for mine, but for him. Let's stand together.